Hey, how you doing in Night City? Hey, I wanted to take us through the next part in Job chapter 19. We left off at verse 23 and 24 yesterday. So it's 25 to 27. And as I was reading, I thought, man, Jesus is all over the pages of the Bible. I mean, it's just red. And I know that you don't see his name, but he is the only redeemer of our souls. And so when you have Job say these words, just listen to this. With all that he's going through, with all that he's already experienced, losing everything, feeling completely abandoned and alone, his friends kind of be, I'm sorry, his friends are kind of, well, they're not the best friends in this time. Some things they're saying that are true and good, others, but it's not from a good heart, and it's not done in love. They're not really, it's almost like they get really defensive over theology, rather than just relationally connecting with their friend and helping him through what he's going through, because it's horrendous. And so with everything that's going, what's going on, what he's experienced already in the moment as well, he says this. He says, "But I know." And I think, friends, we need to stop. And whenever we're facing seasons where we're overwhelmed, it's just a season of the wilderness, or it's just such a valley when it's difficult, we need to come back to, "But what do you know?" But what do you know? And if you want to, I highly recommend reading Psalm 73, because you'll see there, the writer of Psalm 73 is Asaph. At the time, he was the director of the Levitical choir, and in Psalm 73, he kind of gets real and raw. But he starts off with this. He says, "God is indeed good to Israel, to the pure in heart, but as for me, my feet almost slipped, my steps nearly went astray, for I envied the arrogant, I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He's just being honest, but he starts with what he knows. I know God is good, but this is where I was. This is what I was thinking. This is where I was struggling. And I feel like Job says kind of the same thing, but I know. In spite of all that's going on, but I know. And listen to what he says, "But I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end, he will stand on the dust." Guys, let's hold on to that. Like, we know, like, if we apply it to post Jesus's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and we apply it to Christ, friends, that's the encouragement. That's the encouragement that we need. When you take it, and I use this passage a lot, but in it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul kind of says something similar, because the resurrection of Jesus is supposed to bring us to a place of unbelievable hope. No matter what we're facing, no matter how hard it is, we hold on to the fact that, yeah, God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus kicked death in the face, came back from the dead. When you read it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, starting verse 8, he says, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God," and here it is, "who raises the dead." Friends, there is something powerful that happens for us when it comes to hope, to being hope-filled rather than hopeless, when we go back to the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. Friends, the fact that Jesus came back from the dead reminds us that God can do anything he wants to do. Even back in Job chapter 14, verse 14, he says, "When a person dies, will he come back to life? If so, I would wait all the days of my struggle until my relief comes." You see hope again. So when he says here in verse 24 of Job 20, I'm sorry, verse 24 of Job chapter 19, I'm sorry, 25 of 19. He says, "But I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end, he will stand on the dust." Friends, him standing on the dust. I feel a couple things come to my mind, or came to my mind as I read that. One, victory. He's standing. He's not dead. He's standing. But he's on the dust. That reminds me that Jesus came. Jesus came as a human, fully God, fully man at the same time. But he became a human and lived the life that we live. And experienced all the struggles we go through, and sympathizes with us and our weaknesses. And he's coming back one day again. And that should give us hope as well. He continues on from verse 25 and says this in 26. He says, even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. So there's that word yet. So in verse 25, but I know. And then you have yet. So here's what's happening to me. Yet I will see. So there's this sense of hope again. I will see God in my flesh. There's another translation of the word of in there, verse 26. It could be that it could be saying, yet I will see God apart from my flesh. And so when he dies, he gets to see God. And then he says this, I will see him myself. That's beautiful. So Job, in everything he's facing, he's still sitting there going, I'm going to see God myself, not knowing what's coming at the end of the book of Job. And we'll get into that hopefully as we get closer to it. But for him to say, but I will see him myself. My eyes will look at him and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me. And I remember reading that part. It was yesterday. I read that part and I went, oh God, my heart longs. I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see your face. I want to cut in line, and I never cut in line, but I want to cut in line in heaven so that I can see the face of Jesus. I am so excited to get to see him. Friends, do our hearts long and ache to see Jesus? Do we just want to see God? And especially, and this is a question we need to think through. I'm not asking during one of those days or those weeks or those seasons where life is just horrible and we want a break. And so we're like, Jesus, come now, or I want to see you now. But I'm sitting there going, when life is fantastic, I mean, you're at the mountaintop of experience. Are you still sitting there going, but gosh, the desire, the truest and greatest desire of my heart is that I would get to see Jesus. Like all this other stuff doesn't even compare to getting to see Jesus one day. Friends, let me just read through those three verses again. I hope that they're an encouragement and a challenge to you, and then we'll be done. Verse 25 through 27 of Job 19. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on the dust. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh or apart from my flesh. I will see him myself. My eyes will look at him, and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me. Friends, love you guys more than you know. We'll talk soon.